This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Asking people to pay money in exchange for getting out of jail is an age-old process, but it may not make sense anymore. In Mecklenburg County last year, 18% of the people locked up on any given day were there for failure to pay fines or fees. And now a new program is taking a different approach. Elizabeth Trosh is a district court judge in Mecklenburg County, and she joins us now to talk about the new effort. Judge Trosh, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a sense of how the existing court system, you're really looking at bail, right, and the ability of an individual to pay the bail that's imposed on them if they're arrested. Is that right?
We're looking at a number of things. Actually, one of the things that we are looking at and have implemented some practice change around is the imposition of court costs and fines and conducting ability to pay hearings to make a thoughtful determination as to whether someone can afford to pay a cost or fine as a consequence of conviction of a misdemeanor or infraction. Because, like you said earlier, we found when we looked at who's in our jail, about 18% of the people booked into our jail in 2016 were booked in for failure to pay costs or fines that often were around $200 and ended up staying in jail for an average of 4 days. But through this effort that has largely been supported by the MacArthur Foundation and involved all of our criminal justice partners from law enforcement, prosecutors in the courts and public defender's office, we've really started to take a closer look at who is in our jail and why. And one of the things that we have found is that the majority of people in our jail, like most local jails, are people who are held pretrial before they've ever been found guilty of a crime. About half of those folks score as low risk for committing another crime or failing to appear, but sit in jail because they are unable to pay a money bond in order to secure their release and go back to work and to their families while their case is being processed in the court system.
Well, that's a lot of people. I mean, if you add up the number of people who are in jail for failure to be not in the inability to post a bond, plus the 18% who are there because they failed to pay earlier fines, that's a lot of people we're holding just because they don't have a lot of money.
True, and we're spending a lot of money to hold them. In 2014, Mecklenburg County spent about $113 million on our local jail, about $166 per day per inmate. That's a lot of money to jail people who don't pose a serious threat to public safety or who just simply cannot afford to pay costs or fines.
What about that serious threat business, this whole question of determining whether or not an individual is, A, going to make it back to trial, and, B, whether or not they pose a risk? Do we have a responsibility to impose some kind of bond to make sure that we're not at risk?
So what we have found over the last few, well, first of all, in Mecklenburg County over the last 5 years, we have safely reduced our jail population by about 40%. We are using a tool that was created by the Arnold Foundation called the Public Safety Assessment that assists judges in assessing risk for failing to appear or committing another crime while out on pretrial release using objective information that our validation process and the Arnold Foundation's research has shown are factors that are very predictive, very reliable predictors of risk for failure to appear or for risk of committing another crime. So we have made a shift over the last several years of really making risk-based decisions around whether someone should be released from custody or what those conditions of release should be. I would say that because that has been very successful, and we have seen that that tool is very effective at predicting risk and helping us make those decisions, and that our pretrial release services, which is a county-funded service, has been very effective at managing low-risk folks and getting them to court and preventing recidivism, that we can start to maybe think a little bit more broadly about, well, if we're seeing risk, moderate risks for failure to appear or for maybe recidivating on nuisance kinds of offenses, are there things that we could put in place to mitigate that risk and allow people to be released that are more effective than forcing people to pay money to secure their release?
Now, what would those things be?
Well, they might involve pretrial supervision, checking in with a case manager on a regular basis. They may involve case management to make referrals to people who might be high risk for failing to appear because they're unemployed or homeless. and being able to connect them with services that kind of address those issues, using text notification so that we can send people reminders about their court dates. Sometimes, you know, that's a factor for folks in failing to appear, just having a way to trigger those reminders. Many of us get those for our hairdressers and our dentists and physicians, and we'd like to be able to offer that for folks who have appearances in court.
So it's interesting. You've used evidence-based processes to reduce the risk of failure to appear, to reduce the risk to the community using those evidence-based practices. Let's take a look at the other side. What does the research show on the effectiveness of demanding money as a condition for release?
The research is pretty clear that money, posting money bail, does not predict a reduction in the risk of failing to appear or committing another offense. I mean, for example, we had a recent situation where a person charged with first-degree murder was given a very high bail of, I think, $5 million in a neighboring county. Well, he posted it. And then he showed up in Mecklenburg County and was charged and arrested on a very minor driving offense and was released without a bond in Mecklenburg County. The judge in the neighboring county was very frustrated and upset that he was not immediately jailed and held on that minor traffic offense in Mecklenburg County. The reality is when judges are often setting very high bonds for very violent offenses, what we're really saying is, I don't think you should be out of jail because I think you pose a risk to public safety. But we don't even have a tool to do that. The only thing we can do is post a money bond. And I don't feel any safer, and I don't think members of the public feel safer when violent offenders are, in fact, able to post those high bonds and be out in the community pending trial.
As a district court judge, I wonder what your take is on this new legislation that makes it harder for judges to waive fines and fees.
Well, I think that what this comes down to is a couple of things. One, judges and the judicial branch of government has to be independent and has to be able to follow constitutional principles no matter what. And as your earlier guest described, there is clear constitutional law that mandates that we consider ability to pay prior to imposing costs or fines, and that people should not be jailed simply because they can't afford to pay costs or fines. I think another part of that assessment, we have to look at our North Carolina Constitution, which provides that the expenses of the judicial department shall be paid from state funds. The vast majority of the costs and fines that are collected by the judicial branch of government in North Carolina goes to the general fund and to other state agencies, which is what should happen. That's what the Justice Department found in Ferguson, that judges should not be collecting fines and fees to fund, to pay their own salaries, basically, and cover their own costs. So the argument that we have to impose these costs and fines in order to raise money for the judicial branch is both inconsistent with our Constitution, and it's frankly inconsistent with where that money actually goes.
Judge Trosh, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Elizabeth Trosh is a district court judge in Mecklenburg County.